The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 3, Scene 6. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett with a cold.
And I'm David Timberline, not with a cold, but from Style Weekly.
Yes, I've got a little bit of a cold, too. We are going to talk about Murder Ballad, which is a Fifth Wall production at Club Infusion running through tomorrow. Basically, the plot is a love triangle that ends in death. You noticed I said it's Club Infusion, so it's kind of a unique situation. Somebody set up for the audience what that's all about.
So this is an immersive theater experience in that you have the option to be sitting in the club having dinner before the show starts, and then the show will basically erupt around you, often inches away from the performers as they work around the club.
Let's just add first up front, with all of them have incredible voices, and it's really an experience to sit 3 feet from one of these guys just belting out one of those songs.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, from what I've heard, I had a great experience. I really enjoyed the show. I have heard from other people that it is very dependent on where you are in in the club. So right. I was on the floor and was really in the middle of the action, and it was great. And I didn't mind kind of having to pivot hither and yon to see what was going on.
Right. There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of, you know, it truly does feel immersive in that it's happening around you. You feel very close to the action, which I personally really enjoy.
Rich, how'd you feel?
I really enjoyed the concept of it. I thought that it had a really strong direction. I thought that all four in it...
That would be by Lucian Restivo.
I felt that all four of the actors in it were good, with excellent voices. I don't care for the work itself. It feels very shallow.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels very shallow, and you're not entirely sure kind of what the point is at the end, other than you're following this thing. Rachel Rose Gilmore has this very MC and cabaret kind of character,
narrator,
where she's kind of winking as things are going on, like, oh, isn't this funny? We're all human, and we're all kind of weird and messed up. But I enjoyed it. I think it's worth saying.
Part of the gimmick in her character is that it's stated from the very beginning, there's going to be a murder here.
Right, right.
And so it kind of puts you on edge. It makes some of the action a little shallow because you're a little bit kind of going, okay, when's it going to happen? Who's it going to be?
And looking for a real motivation.
Right, exactly. So it's a very directive show. You're not getting deep characterizations here.
Right.
You're really getting kind of archetypes of the... You know, the jealous boyfriend, the disaffected wife, mother. But, you know, I think they do each of those archetypes pretty well. I was surprised at Chris Hester, who, you know, has experience doing pretty extravagant characters. And he's kind of
He's underplayed.
Right.
I thought it was a welcome development for him because he usually is a little bit bigger.
Yeah. And he's a poet. He's a dad. He's a husband. As things heat up at the end, he heats up as well. But still very kind of contained performance for Chris, I thought.
I thought Rachel Rose Gilmore, who you mentioned, was an incredible voice. She really carried that part, and she was sexy and sultry all the way through that.
Yeah, and a great performance by Katrina and by Duran Tyree.
Duran, emotionally and vocally, he just blew me away. He was incredible. And sometimes he was 3 feet away from me, too, so that voice really made an impact.
He wears an incredible leather jacket at the end, and to me, he wore that jacket really damn well.
Real quick, say Katrina's full name.
Katrina Carol Lewis.
Katrina obviously has done a lot of amazing performances in this town, and she's very accomplished, and I thought this was one of her best things. She was underplayed, but she was rich, and of course her voice was great. I really thought she was excellent in this show.
I completely agree. Also, the band was fantastic under Kim Fox's musical direction.
Absolutely, yeah.
They sounded great. And Joey Luck was doing the sound design, and the challenge of working in a club that's not really set up for this kind of thing. Live band, live vocals, sometimes it got eaten, but it's Joey Luck. If there's a name in sound design in Richmond, it's him. So if he can't make that work, no one can.
Right,
sometimes it's hard to make out the lyrics.
And from what I've heard, the people who were further away from the center of the action had a harder time hearing.
Well, and if you looked up, because I talked to some people who were sitting on the sides after the show, and somebody pointed out to me, there's a speaker bank on each side facing right where we were sitting in the middle of the theater, so that did make a difference. The lighting by Michael Jarrett was, I thought, dynamically helped direct the focus of the show and created a little bit of a mood. And, you know, since the stuff does move around, it was effective to have the lighting come up and go down in different places in the theater.
Absolutely.
By the way, I just wanted to throw in there Claire Boswell, who also reviews at Style, who couldn't be with us tonight because she's a little sicker than the two of us who already sound pretty terrible. She said she saw the production in New York, and she thought this production was actually better. So kudos to them. Anything else we want to talk about? I think we all pretty much like the show a lot. Too bad there's only one more night to see it.
There will be two more nights.
Oh, so sorry, Rich. Yes, that's Friday and Saturday night, correct. All right, so we've been talking about Murder Ballad, which we'll be playing for two more nights at Club Infusion. It's a Fifth Wall Theater production. Since probably everybody knows that the holiday season is just around the corner, we thought we'd talk about the four shows that are opening in the month of December to give you an idea if there's something you might want to use to celebrate. Rich, why don't you start to tell us what the shows are that are specifically aimed at the young audience and sure their parents,
thing.
Of course.
Sure thing. So we've got Mary Poppins at the November. It runs from November 17th through December 31st, based on the stories by P.L. Travers and the 1964 Walt Disney film. Spoonful of Sugar Makes Medicine Go Down, all of those great...
Supercalifragilistic, all those things.
Excellent, yeah.
And
yeah,
some
yeah.
added songs.
It's the last show for director Chase Niffin here before he goes to grad school. And it's got Stacey Sabai as the lead.
And she has done a number of leads for Virginia Rep, right?
Exactly. She's been in Sound of Music, My Fair Lady, South Pacific.
Right.
We also have from Heritage Ensemble Theater Company, The Dream Cellar and The Forest Dwellers. This is a world premiere show. It's the work of New York playwright Jerry Maple Jr., and he wrote the lyrics in conjunction with Marguerite Joyner. It's a musical with a cast of 12 set in a magical forest, and it will be playing at the Hickory Hill Community Center on Belt Boulevard.
Which is a new venue for any theater that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
It runs November 29th through December 9th.
And for probably more of an older audience, we have Virginia Rep's show at Hanover Tavern, which is called Miracle on South Division Street. Runs December 1st through the 31st. It revolves around a family in Buffalo, New York. Clara and her three grown kids have always known they were special ever since a miraculous night in 1942 when the Blessed Mother appeared to the grandpa in his barbershop. However, their faith is shaken to the core when a deathbed confession causes the legend to unravel. Now, this show has got a powerhouse cast. Kathy Schaffner, who, of course, everybody knows, is she's done The Charitable Sisterhood, Steel Magnolias, Nonsense, just to name a few out there at Hanover. Donna Marie Miller, who was also in The Charitable Sisterhood. Audra Honecker, who is in MAME and Fiddler on the Roof and a million other shows in town. John Minks, who was in Spring Awakening for Virginia Rep and a lot of other shows. Those four are being directed by Deborah Clinton, who did 1776 and Croker and Heathers recently. So that looks like a powerhouse group and promises to be a hopefully enjoyable evening. The final show we're going to talk about, Dave actually saw the last time around, so tell us what's up there.
For those of you who enjoy your holiday fare with a dark underbelly, the Richmond Triangle Players just opened a two-part show called The Santaland Diaries and Season's Greetings. It's two one-act plays. They're both written by David Sedaris. This production, the same exact production in terms of performers, direction.
The tech is all new. The set designer, light designer are new, but you're right on the rest of it.
So this was played at Fieldins in 2004. I saw that production. I reviewed it. It's got Robert Throckmorton, who plays basically a David Sedaris surrogate, very sarcastic elf, and he's awesome. And for those who've seen Robert Throckmorton before, this is the kind of character that he just owns.
Right.
And then Jackie Jones, who is often a very cheerful housewife character, plays that character, only she's had a very rough Christmas, and she explains that in her season's greetings letter to her family. It's very, very dark, twisted. This is the kind of show that I love, just because it plays on all your expectations about the holidays.
And anyone who's read David Sedaris' book will relate
right
to these two.
And you know that it's going to be, there's going to be some bite to it, but it's a good time, and these are some great performers. So that's going to be running at Triangle Players, just opened, and it will be running through December 16th.
That'll do it for this week's Curtain Call. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRIR, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with reviews of some of those shows. So I'm Jerry Williams with Sifter.
I'm David Timberline with Style Weekly.
And I'm Rich Grissett, still with a cold.
Bless you.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.